ओम अज्ञानतिमिरंदस्य ज्ञानांजनाशनकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो वी स्टार्ट विद द 11th चैप्टर टुडे, ऑलरेडी फिनिश 10 चैप्टर्स। The chapter 11, universal form, verse number 1. Arjun vacha mad anugraya paramam guhyam adhyatma samritam yat vayaktam vachastena moho yam vigato mama. Arjuna said, by my hearing the instructions you have kindly given me about these most confidential spiritual subjects, my illusion has now been dispelled. This chapter reveals Krishna as the cause of all causes, even the cause of the Mahavishnu, from whom the material universe is emanate. Krishna is not an incarnation, he is the source of all incarnations. That has been completely explained in the last chapter. Now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he says that his illusion is over. This means that Arjuna no longer thinks of Krishna as a mere human being, as a friend of his, but as the source of everything. Arjuna is very enlightened and he is glad that he has such a great friend as Krishna. But now he is thinking that although he may accept Krishna as the source of everything, others may not. So in order to establish Krishna's divinity for all, he is requesting Krishna in this chapter to show his universal form. Actually, when one sees the universal form of Krishna, one becomes frightened, like Arjuna. But Krishna is so kind that after showing it, he converts himself again into his original form. Arjuna agrees to what Krishna has several times said. Krishna is speaking to him just for his benefit. So Arjuna acknowledges that all is happening to him by Krishna's grace. He is now convinced that Krishna is the cause of all causes and is present in everyone's heart as a super soul. Yeah, so here Arjuna's illusion is over, and he's going to ask Krishna to show the universal form for others' benefit. Okay, any comment or question? Next. Chintamani Mataji.
भावापयोहि भूतानां श्रुतौ विस्तारासो मया स्वत्व कमलपत्राक्ष महात्म्यम् अपि च व्ययम्। ओ लोटस वाइज वन, आई हैव हर्ड फ्रॉम यू इन डिटेल अबाउट द अपीयरेंस एंड डिसअपीयरेंस ऑफ एवरी लिविंग एंटिटी एंड हैव रियलाइज्ड योर इनएक्सॉस्टिबल ग्लोरी। परपोर्ट, अर्जुना एड्रेसेस लॉर्ड कृष्णा एज लोटस आइज। Krishna's eyes appear just like the petals of a lotus flower out of his joy, for Krishna has assured him in a previous chapter, Aham Krishnasya Jagata Pravava Pralaya. I am the source of the appearance and disappearance of the entire material manifestation. Arjuna has heard of this with the Lord in detail. Arjuna further knows that in spite of his being the source of all appearances and disappearances, he is aloof from them. As the Lord has said in the 9th chapter, he is all-pervading, yet he is not personally present everywhere. That is the inconceivable opulence of Krishna, which Arjuna admits that he has thoroughly understood.
Yeah, okay. Any comments? Next. Sudhamai Madhavi, are you able to... Okay. We are not able to hear you. Are you on mute? Okay, unable to hear. Neeraj, would you like to read?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, sorry, I do not have that facilities to read. Sorry, Prabhuji.
Okay. third verse. I don't know if anyone else has joined till now. Okay. Evam etad yatha tvam atmanam parameshwara drashtam chami te rupam aishwaram purushottama. All greatest of all personalities, the supreme form, though I see you here before me in your actual position as you have described yourself, I wish to see how you entered into this cosmic manifestation. I want to see that form of yours. The Lord said that because we entered into the universe, material universe, by His personal representation, the cosmic manifestation has been made possible and is going on. Now, as far as Arjuna is concerned, he is inspired by the statement of Krishna. But in order to convince others in the future who may think that Krishna is an ordinary person, Arjuna desires to see him actually in his universal form, to see how he is acting from within the universe, although he is apart from it. Arjuna addressing the Lord as Purushottam is also significant. Since the Lord is the Supreme Person of Godhead, he is present within Arjun himself. Therefore, he knows the desire of Arjun, and he can understand that Arjun has no special desire to see him in his universal form. For Arjuna is completely satisfied to see him in his personal form of Krishna. But the Lord can understand also that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to convince others. Arjuna did not have any personal desire for confirmation. Krishna also understands that Arjuna wants to see the universal form to set a criterion, for in the future there will be so many imposters who would pose themselves as incarnations of God. The people therefore should be careful. One who claims to be Krishna should be prepared to show his universal form to confirm his claim to the people. Yeah. So this two-handed form of Krishna is actually the most superior form of the Lord, and this universal form is temporary and material form, and that is why it is inferior. It is inferior to other forms of the Lord also. So it is an imaginary form and it's a temporary form. Okay. But all other forms of the Lord are eternal and they are transcendental. That's the reason all these forms are superior to the universal form. So now Arjuna is himself, he is seeing the most superior form of the Lord as Krishna. But the 200 form of Krishna, but he is still asking, you know, if he can see the universal form. So it is obvious that why would he ask to see an inferior form of the Lord when he is already seeing the superior form of the Lord. So here Prabhupada gives the answer, and I think, you know, the acharyas probably comment that it was Arjuna's desire to make this form known to others, so that if someone would like to act as God, then they would have to show their universal form. So it is not the desire of Arjuna, it is not the doubt that Arjuna is having, but it is actually for the benefit of others. That's the reason he's asking the Lord to show the form. Okay. Because, you know, even the Goswamis, they say that Arjuna is already seeing the superior form of the Lord. So why does he require Divya Drishti to see the universal form of the Lord? So this is just an arrangement by the Supreme Lord to make Arjuna an instrument so that others can also benefit from this. So that is the reason he is actually kind of bewildered in this. I mean, you know, he's asking this to the Lord. Okay? So any comment or question on this? So here Arjuna is addressing the Lord as Purushottam. That's what Prabhupada is explaining. Yeah, so it's an interesting purport. Next. Anyone else join?
Prabhuji, we are here.
Okay. So we are on verse number 4. So would you like to start reading?
Okay, sir. 11.4, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, verse number 4. Manyase yadi tachakyam mayam drustum nati prabhu yoge swaratato metvam dasayatman. If you think that I am able to behold your cosmic form, O my Lord, O Master of all mystic power, then kindly show me that unlimited universal self. Perfect. It is said that one can neither see, hear, understand, nor perceive the Supreme Lord Krishna, but in material sense. One is engaging in transcendental service to the Lord from the beginning, then one can see the Lord by revelation. Every living entity is only a spiritual son, therefore it is not possible to see or to understand the Supreme Lord. Arjuna, as a devotee, does not depend on his speculative sense. He admits his limitations as a living entity and acknowledges Krishna's inestimable position. Arjuna could understand that for a living entity it is not possible to understand the unlimited infinite. If the infinite is himself, then it is possible to understand the nature of the infinite by the grace of the infinite. The word yogi is also very significant here because the Lord has inconceivable power. If he likes, he can reveal himself by his grace, although he is unlimited. Therefore, Arjuna pleads for the inconceivable grace of Krishna. He does not give Krishna power. Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself unless one surrenders fully in Krishna consciousness and engages in the devotion. Thus, it is not possible for people who depend on the strength of their mind to set their son to see Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So it is generally many people say that God is inconceivable and that's why he cannot be known and he is beyond the material purview. So how can we know him? But if God is inconceivable, if he has infinite energy, potency, then obviously he can also reveal himself. Because if he cannot reveal himself, that means that he is unable to do something. And that would mean that his potency is limited again. So this concept of God, we cannot know God, is also, you know, it's all, there is also a defect in this because that is also limiting. Like for example, you know, people say that if God is present everywhere, why we have to go to temples and, you know, we can worship him anywhere. So then why we have to go to temple specially to worship? Then, you know, Prabhupada used to say that, well, you know, you accept that God is everywhere, then he is also present in the deity. So then why don't you accept or worship the Lord in the form of deity? Now, obviously, another point is that people say God is everywhere, but then they don't worship God in the bathroom. Right? They don't... And if God is also present in everywhere, the stool is also God. So they don't worship the stool. They don't worship contaminated items. And everyone knows that we should worship the Lord in a most purified place. So then why it is like that? Right? So you see that, you know, people, even if you do yajna, you know, especially the Mayavadis, they focus more or they give more emphasis on the Vedas or Upanishads, right? But you see, the most contrary part is that people, like, throughout the world, people are actually following the principles of the Puranas. You know, as per the Yuga is passing down, mostly you see, whatever principles are given in the Puranas, the stories, the history, people follow that because what they are doing is, you know, they are seeing an example in the past and those principles they are following. So, but if they give emphasis on the Vedas and they say that Purana is a secondary scripture or it's a less important scripture, then again they contradict themselves because mostly the Vedas focus on yajna, you know, and to have a very regulated lifestyle. There are a lot of do's and don'ts in the, you know, Ved, Upanishads and all. So, but we see in the regular lifestyle of people, they are not following all these things. They are following what they are seeing in the Puranas, you know, like for Itihasas and the Puranas. That is more relevant and practical for them to follow because they have seen how people behave, what are the etiquettes that people follow. So that can only be known through the Puranas and the Itihasas. See, that is the reason this is a supplementary to the Vedas. In fact, not only just a supplementary, but it is actually giving the essence of the Vedas, and it is giving the essence in the most practical way to follow. And that's the reason it is also said that Puranas, Purana means, obviously we know it's also called as history, but Purana also means to complete something. So you cannot complete the Vedas without the Puranas. Right? I mean, obviously there are references in the scriptures itself which mention clearly that you cannot understand the Shrutis without the help of the Smritis. Okay, and obviously there is a non-different nature of the Shruti and Smriti also, which we have covered in the podcast, and some other classes also have addressed this, that the Shruti and Smriti are non-different. In fact, the Smritis are considered to be more effective, much better than the Shrutis also. And amongst the Smriti, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost. So the ultimate authority is Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Mayavad philosophy, it is full of contradiction. And, they don't have answer to many questions. But here it is very simple to understand that that's the reason Achintya Bhedada Tattva is the most complete philosophy. It is the, there is no other philosophy which can there is no lack. There is, it is complete, fully complete, So there is no lack in Achintya Bhedabheda Tattva philosophy. Now, the other philosophy, Shuddha Advaita, Vishishta Advaita, then Bhedabheda, these philosophies, they are lacking something. They are not complete. And they contradict certain aspects of the scriptures. But Achintya Bhedabheda Tattva, it actually reconciles all these contradictions into one thing. And basically it reconciles the contradictions. So everything is included in this philosophy. Like, the Dvaitavad will say that everything is different. Advaitavad will say everything is one. So, and then the ultimate absolute truth is Brahman. And others will say ultimate absolute truth is God, the personal aspect of the Lord. And our Achintya Bhedabheda Tattva says that everything is there. The Brahman is there, the Paramatma is there, the Supreme Absolute Truth in the form of personal personality is there. But they will also give some kind of discrimination. Okay. Although everything is one, but they are also different. That makes the philosophy perfect. So here also, if God is unlimited, like for example, now sometimes you might wonder that how Krishna can get bewildered. There are certain pastimes that the Lord himself is bewildering himself, and he is he's taking guidance from Uddhava. Like in the pastime where Ratsuya Yagya is about to happen, at the same time Jarasandha is also, he steals so many princesses and he's kidnapping them, and then, so the Lord is kind of deciding, where should I go first? And then he takes guidance of Uddhav. So now you must be thinking, well, the Lord himself is confused. How can he be God? So, obviously the Lord can, from a tattva point of view, the Lord can never be confused because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he obviously knows everything. But from Leela point of view, he will conceal himself. So that apparently it seems that he is bewildered. Now another pastime also, where he was fighting with the demon, who was that? Salva. Salva was the one probably who was, going to, he just showed an imaginary thing, to Krishna that he is trying to behead his father, Vasudev. Right? And then by seeing that, Krishna is kind of like, he is bewildered. So obviously in that particular context, we know that Krishna can never be bewildered, he knows everything. But when he is in the Leela, he is displaying all these skills or all these qualities. So now you can say that, if Krishna knows everything, or if Krishna cannot get bewildered, then you will say that, well, Krishna is lacking something. So obviously Krishna has to get bewildered. You can say that Krishna can never get confused. But he gets confused, you know, sometimes. So if he is getting confused, then that is also completing him. Yeah, right? So, you know, if he never gets confused, then there is something which is lacking in him. So Krishna is a personality, he will display both the characteristics simultaneously. And so, you know, just to prove that he is complete in all respects. Okay, even in the Vasilya dance also, he takes shelter of Yog Maya. So he does not arrange anything himself. He gives credit to Yog Maya. And then Yog Maya is arranging all these, you know, that perfect atmosphere for the Rasa dance and all that. Right? So this is the transcendental quality of Krishna. So one should not be confused by that. Krishna is displaying contradictory characteristics many times. Okay. So is this clear? I hope, you know, everyone can follow this. Any comment or question on this? No question?
No, probably.
Okay. Okay, next. Nikhil Prabhu?
Yes, Prabhu. 11.5. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Pashyame Partha Rupani Chakosho Vatsa Nana Vidani Vidyani Nana Varnasa Pilcha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, O son of Buddha, see now my opulence, hundreds of thousands of various divine and multicolored forms. Perfect. Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in his universal form, which, although a transcendental form, is just manifested for the causal manifestation and is therefore subject to the temporary turn of this material nature. As the material nature is manifested and not manifested, similarly, this universal form of Krishna is manifested and non-manifested. It is not eternally situated in the spiritual sky like Krishna's other forms. As far as the devotee is concerned, he is not eager to see the universal form, but because Arjuna wanted to see Krishna in this way, Krishna revealed this form. This universal form is not possible to be seen by the ordinary man. Krishna must give one the power to see. Hare Krishna?
Yeah, so this universal form, you know, transcendental in the sense that because Krishna is manifesting this form, so that's the reason. But actually it is basically belonging to the material nature. So it is temporary, you know, and it is also imaginary. Okay, so as Prabhupada says that it is not eternally situated in the spiritual sky, it, like Krishna's other forms. Like, you know, it is very simple to understand. Why? Let's say you have universal form. So can someone worship universal form? If you want to prepare bhoga, then Krishna has unlimited mouths. So how many bhoga can you offer to him? If you want to dress him, Krishna is displaying unlimited body. So how will you dress him? Right? So logically, practically also, you know, it is not possible to worship this universal form because everything is unlimited. Hands, legs, eyes, heads, you know, everything. So this is just an expansion of the expansion of Krishna's material energy like that. I mean, you know, if you want to see Krishna's material energy, then he is expanding himself. So entire material universes and, you know, everything is covered in this form. And there are different types of universal form also, displayed by Shiva Lakshaya Vishnu, Garbha Lakshaya Vishnu, like that. Okay. So any question? Okay, next. Yeah. Chintamani Madhavi, did you read? Is it my turn or?
Yeah, my turn, I think.
पश्यादित्यान् वसून् रुद्रान् अश्विनौ मारुतस्तथा बहूनि अदृष्टपूर्वाणि पश्यश्चार्याणि भारत. Oh, best of the Bharata, see here the different manifestations of Adityas, Vasus, Rudras, Ashwini Kumara, and all the other demigods. Behold the many wonderful things which no one has ever seen or heard before. Even though Arjuna is the best friend of Krishna and the most advanced of learned men, it was still not possible for him to know everything about Krishna. Here it is stated that humans have neither heard nor known of all these forms and manifestations. Now Krishna reveals these wonderful forms.
So it is unlimited form. That's why we cannot completely realize and see the form. Okay. Next. Iharikastham jagat krishnam tasyadya sacharacharam mamadehe gurakesha yachanyadrishtam icchasi. O Arjuna, whatever you wish to see, behold at once in this body of mine. This universal form can show you whatever you now desire to see and whatever you may want to see in the future. Everything moving and non-moving is here completely in one place. No one can see the entire universe while sitting in one place. Even the most advanced scientist cannot see what is going on in other parts of the universe. A devotee like Arjuna can see everything that exists in any part of the universe. Krishna gives him the power to see anything he wants to see, past, present and future. Thus, by the mercy of Krishna, Arjuna is able to see everything. Yeah, so this is inconceivable. Not only seeing the material universes at one place, but he also will be able to see the past, present, future. Right? So this is something which is very inconceivable. Okay, next. Yeah, Jigna Matani.
But you cannot see me with your present eyes. Therefore, I give you divine eyes. Behold my mystic opulence. Perfect. A pure devotee does not like to see Krishna in any form except his form with two hands. A devotee must see his universal form by his grace. Not with the mind, but with spiritual eyes. To see the universal form of the Krishna, Arjuna is told not to change his mind, but his vision. The universal form of Krishna is not very important. That will be clear in subsequent verses. Yet, because Arjuna wanted to see it, the Lord gives him the particular vision required to see that universal form. Devotees who are correctly situated in a transcendental relationship with the Krishna are attracted by loving features, not by godless display of opulence. The playmates of Krishna, the friend of Krishna, and the parents of Krishna never want Krishna to show his opulence. They are so immersed into our love that they do not even know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. In their loving extent, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is stated that the boys who play with Krishna are all highly pious souls, and after many, many births, they are able to play with Krishna. Such boys do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. They take him as a personal friend. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami recites his verse. Ittama satam brahma sukana bhi bhuktaya dasyam katana vakara daivetana maya kishanam nara vara kevna sakama vijafuru kritpunya punjaha.
Here is the Supreme Person who is considered the in-person Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead by devotees, and the product of nothing nature by ordinary men. Now these boys who have performed many, many past activities in their past lives are playing with their Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.12.11. The fact is that the devotee is not concerned with seeing the Vishwarupa, the universal form, but Arjuna wanted to see it and substantiate Krishna's statement so that in the future people could understand that Krishna not only theoretically or philosophically presented himself as a supreme, but actually presented himself as such to Arjuna. Arjuna must confirm this because Arjuna is the beginning of the parampara system. Those who are actually interested in understanding the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, Krishna, and who follow in the steps of the Arjuna, to understand that Krishna not only theoretically presented himself as the Supreme, but actually revealed himself as the Supreme. The Lord knew Arjuna the necessary power to set his universe upon this earth. He knew that Arjuna did not particularly want to see, as we have already experienced.
Yeah. So again, this is for the benefit of others, and Arjuna is not desiring to see the universal form. Any comment or question?
No problem.
Okay, next. Mithul Prabhu.
Okay, what's 11.1? Sanjaya Uvacha Evam Mukta Prakau Rajan Mahayogeshwaro Harihi Darshayam Kasa Prakaya Paramam Rupam Aishwaram. Sanjaya said, O King, having spoken thus, the Supreme Lord of all mystic power, the personality of Godhead, displayed his universal form to Arjuna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you can continue, Prabhu, till next verse.
Okay. Aneka vastra nadam, aneka dut, aneka dutra darshanam, aneka divya varanam, divya aneka vyata yudham, divya malyambara divam taram, divya gandhamulepanam, sarvasharya mayam devam, anantam vishvato mukham. Arjuna saw in that universal form of unlimited mouths, unlimited arms, unlimited wonderful vision. The form was decorated with many celestial ornaments and bore many divine upraised weapons. He wore celestial garments, and many divine fans were clear over his body. All was wondrous, brilliant, unlimited, all-expanding. But in those two verses, the repeated use of word many indicates that there was no limit to the number of hands, mouths, legs, and other manifestations Arjuna was seeing. These manifestations were distributed throughout the universe, but by the grace of the Lord, Arjuna could see them while sitting in one place. That was due to the inconceivable potency of Krishna. Hare Krishna.
So these manifestations were distributed throughout the universe, but by the grace of Lord, Arjuna could see them in one place. Yeah, so. Okay, any question? Next.
Should I?
Yeah, Chintamani Mahatmi.
Text 12. Divi Surya Sahasrasya Bhaved Yuga Padutthita Yadi Bhava Sadrishya Sasya Bhashastasya Mahatmanaha. If hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once into the sky, Their radiance might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Person in that universal form. Purport. What Arjuna saw was indescribable, yet Sanjaya is trying to give a mental picture of that great revelation to Dhritarashtra. Neither Sanjaya nor Dhritarashtra was present, but Sanjaya, by the grace of Vyasa, could see whatever happened. Thus he now compares the situation, as far as it can be understood, to an imaginable phenomenon, that is thousands of suns.
So even Sanjaya is able to see, by the special mercy of Vyasdev, this universal form of the Lord. The next. Tatraikatam jagat krishnam pravibhaktam anekada apasya deva devasya sharire pandavastada. At that time, Arjuna could see in the universal form of the Lord the unlimited expansions of the universe situated in one place, although divided into many, many thousands. The word Tatra here is very significant. It indicates that both Arjuna and Krishna were sitting on a chariot when Arjuna saw the universal form. Others on the battlefield could not see this form because Krishna gave the vision only to Arjuna. Arjuna could see in the body of Krishna many thousands of planets. As we learn from Vedic scriptures, there are many universes and many planets. Some of them are made of earth, some are made of gold, some are made of jewels, some are very great, some are not so great, etc. Sitting on this chariot, Arjuna could see all these. But no one could understand what was going on between Arjuna and Krishna. Okay. Any questions? Okay, next. Yeah, Jigna Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes. 11.40. Tatasra vismaya vishturascha romata nanjaya pranamya sirasa devam krutanjalair apasaka. Once the divine nature is revealed, the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna changes immediately. Before, Krishna and Arjuna had a relationship based on friendship, but here, after the revelation, Arjuna is offering obeisances with great respect, and with folded hands, he is praying to Krishna. His praying in the universal form, thus, Arjuna's relationship becomes one to wonder rather than friendship. Great devotees see Krishna as a reservoir of all relationships. In the scripture, there are 12 basic kinds of relationship mentioned, and all of them are present in Krishna. It is said that he is the ocean of all relationships exchanged between two living entities, between the God or between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Here Arjuna was inspired by the relationship of wonder, and in that wonder, although he was by nature very sober, calm and fire, he became ecstatic when he had students and he began to offer his obeisances unto the Supreme Lord with folded hands. He was not, of course, afraid. He was not affected by the oneness of the Supreme Lord. The immediate context is wonder. His natural loving friendship was overwhelmed by wonder and thus he reacted in this way.
So Arjuna's mood was, he was Krishna's friend. But because he is associate of the Lord in Dwarka, his friendship is covered with Aishwarya Bhav or knowledge of opulences. Okay. So that's the reason Arjuna is actually, his friendship is of a lower category than the friendship of the associates of the Lord in Raj. Okay, so any question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, what kind of 12 basic kind of relationship?
What kind of?
It is written here, right? In the scriptures, there are 12 basic kinds of relationship mentioned, and all of them are present in Krishna.
Okay. That is the 5 primary rasas and 7 secondary rasas. So we know that Shantaras, Dasyabhav, Sakyaras, Vatsalya, Madhuri. And then there are 7 secondary rasas, laughter, then wonder, then all these other different rasas which are present due to their main relationship with the Lord. So these are the seven secondary rasas, adbhut, I mean, if you have read Krishna book, you come across the seven secondary rasas. So these seven secondary rasas, they assist the primary rasas. Okay. Do you remember which chapter these seven secondary rasas are addressed? Even in Bhakti Rasamrita, like Nectar Devotion also, this is addressed. Anyone knows what are these second secondary rasas? Anyone knows?
Hastya and Sincerity.
Yeah. So anger, wonder, then, humor, chivalry, mercy, horror, shock. These are seven secondary rasas. Okay. And then the five primary rasas are there. So total 12 rasas. So these seven, they are the effect of these five rasas. Right? So each and every rasa, each and every one of these five rasas, they will display these secondary rasas to greater extent. So some secondary rasas are present in some rasas more and some are present less. So it is like, some rasas are dominating and others are, they are just like, they just appear for some time. So it is like, depending on the five primary rasas, you get the corresponding secondary rasas. So did you get this, Madhavi?
Yes, Prabhuji, yeah. So the primary rasas that we were familiar with those, but secondary seven rasas we didn't know actually.
Okay. I will repeat one more time. It is anger, wonder, humor, chivalry, mercy, horror, shock. So these are the seven secondary rasas. Okay.
Okay, got it. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so this is all described in Nectar Devotion also. It's very important, Nectar Devotion book is extremely important. All the devotees, they should read it. So, I guess that, obviously Bhagavatam will also probably cover these things, because even if the verses they don't cover, when you come to the 10th canto, definitely these secondary rasas are also there. But even before that also, I think maybe they might be discussed. Or otherwise, Prabhupada might also give in the purport. So the Bhagavatam might also have these, but if you want to understand more, then you can also refer to Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion is actually, just as Bhagavatam is incarnation of Krishna, Nectar of Devotion is incarnation of Srimati Radharani. So if you want to understand what is bhakti, real bhakti, then one should read Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Very important. Okay. So, all right, next. Sudhir Prabhu.
Yes, 11:15. Arjuna Uvacha Pashyami Devam Savadeva Dehe Sarvam Sakabhuta Vishesha Sangan Brahmanam Isham Kamalasthanatham Vishimcha Sarvam Urgamcha Divyan. Arjuna said, my dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the and various other living beings. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents. Upon and he is everything in the universe, therefore he sees Brahma, who is the first creator in the universe and desolation preference upon which the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu lies in the lower region of the universe. He says there is called Vasuki. There are also other snakes known as Vasuki. Arjuna can see from the Garbhodakshayi Vishnu up to the topmost part of the universe on the lotus flower planet where Brahma, the first creature of the universe, resides. That means that from the beginning to the end, everything could be seen by Arjuna, who was sitting in one place on his chariot. This was possible by the grace of Supreme Lord Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, any question? So this is Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who is lying in the Garbhodaka ocean, in the egg-shaped, universal shell, and he is seeing Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and he is seeing Brahma. So, as you know, that from Brahma to Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the stem is there, lotus stem. The stem is actually divided into three parts, right? So, we know lower planetary system. Then the middle one, which is the Bhumandala, and the Swargloka, right? Swargloka, Dhruvloka, all these three planetary systems are there in that stem. So he is seeing the entire universe. Okay, next.
Deck 16. अनेक बाहुधरा वक्त नेत्रम पश्यामि त्वं सर्वतो नन्त रूपम नान्तं न मध्यं न पुनः स्वाधिं पश्यामि विवेश्वर विश्वरूपा. O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths and eyes expanded everywhere. Without limit, I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is unlimited, and that through him, everything could be seen.
कीर्तिनाम गादिनाम चक्रिनाम च तेजो रसिम सर्वतो दीप्तिमन्तम् पश्यामि त्वं दुर्निरीक्ष्यं समन्तद्युतिम् अप्रमेयम्. Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing from everywhere adorned with various crowns, clubs and discs. Next. Tvam aksharam paramam veditavyam tam asya vishwasya param nidanam tvam avyaya shashvata dharma gopta sanatanastvam purusha matome. You are the supreme primary objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. That is my opinion. अनादिमध्यन्तम् अनन्तवीर्यम् अनन्तबहुंशिशूर्यनेत्रम् पश्यामि त्वं दीप्त उतासवक्तृतम् स्वतेजस विश्वम् इदं तपन्तम्. यू आर् विदौट् ओरिजिन् मिडल् आर् एण्ड् युर् ग्लोरि इस् अन्लिमिटेड् यू हेव् नम्बर्लेस् आर्म्स् एण्ड् द सन् एण्ड् मून् आर् युर् ऐस् ऐ सी यू वित् ब्लेज़िङ्ग् फैर् कमिङ्ग् फोर्त् फ्रोम् युर् मौत् बर्निङ्ग् दिस् एण्टैर् यूनिवर्स् बै युर् ओन् रेडियन्स्. There is no limit to the extent of the six appearances of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here and in many other places, there is repetition. But according to the scriptures, repetition of the glory of Krishna is not a literary weakness. It is said that at a time of bewilderment or wonder of great ecstasy, statements are repeated over and over. That is not a flaw. Okay, next.
Eleven point
द्यावा पृथ्वीर इदम अंतरम ही व्याप्तम त्यवैकेन दिशाश्च सर्वः दृष्ट्वाद्भुतं कृतं रूपमुग्रं तवेदं लोकत्रयं प्रगथितं महात्मन. Although you are one, you spread throughout the sky and the planets and all space between. O great one, seeing this wondrous and variable form, all the planetary systems are perfect. Vyava Prithivyo, the space between heaven and earth, and Lokatrayam, the three worlds, are significant words in this verse because it appears that not only did Arjuna see this universal form of the Lord, but others in other planetary systems saw it also. Arjuna's seeing of the universal form was not a dream. All whom the Lord endowed with the divine vision saw that universal form on the battlefield. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so others also saw that form.
How come, Prabhuji? Like, so far we only knew that Arjuna has a divine eye, so only he can see.
So you know, this is actually, especially the people from the upper planetary system, they have that potency also. So some of them, you know, they are able to see that because it is other planetary systems, you know, so they have, see, whether it is the lower planetary system or upper planetary system, or even in other varshas, amongst there are 9 varshas in Jambudvip. Bharat Varsha is one of them, and then Bharat Varsha is divided into 9 parts, and in the last part or the southernmost part, it is the Bharat Khanda. So this Bharat Khanda is the earth planet where we are residing. So there are, so other varshas also, they are actually more superior to Bharat Varsha in terms of you know, experiencing the heavenly experience. You know, that is quite superior in other different planetary systems. Even in lower planetary system also, they experience more joy, happiness, material happiness obviously. So they have facilities to enjoy more in the lower planetary system. The only difference is that they are in the mode of ignorance. In the middle planetary system, they are in the mode of passion, and upper planetary system in the mode of goodness. But they all have more enjoying facilities than the planet Earth. Okay. So, and then obviously, the demigods also, you know, they are also empowered to a certain degree because they are all representatives of the Lord. So they are able to see the, you know, universal form also. And here Prabhupada especially also comments that this also indicates that Arjuna was actually not dreaming, because the other inhabitants were also seeing. The inhabitants of different planetary systems were also able to see this form. So certain things are only applicable in the Bharat Khanda. So, you know, you must have special potency in order to see certain things. Bharat Khanda is limited, it's quite limited. And other varshas, you know, they where, you know, people are deciding in other varshas. Like for example, you know, the other 8 varshas, you know, people, they live up to 10,000 years. And that's why, you know, they experience like Trita Yuga. And they don't have any effect of time, because 10,000 years is actually what, how much, you know, time they are going to spend there, after which they exhaust their karma. Okay, so generally those who are in Swargloka planet, when they exhaust their pious, they are just about to exhaust their pious karma, they do not come to earth or Bharatkhand immediately, but they are spread in other varshas and they enjoy for another 10,000 years until they exhaust all their karma. See, the more you go above, the more you require a lot of pious activities or you require a lot of pious account in your bank. Okay? And the more you go down, your pious karma is exhausted. So, or you can say that, you know, the ability to enjoy is exhausted the more you go down. I mean, like, you know, the mode of ignorance, one can smoke, one can drink. That is all in the mode of ignorance. One can sleep. Yeah? So that is also enjoyment. But it is in the mode of ignorance because you are completely unaware of what you are doing. Right? So there's lack of knowledge. And you are not concerned. You do not think about anything. You are just doing the activity because of ignorance. Okay? So when your karma is exhausted, then you come to these other varshas and then you stay there for 10,000 years and then you get a chance to come to Bharatkhanda. Okay, or otherwise, if your karma is not up to the caliber of Swargloka, but it is at the same time, it is not even, it is also above the karma of the Bharatkhanda, then also you go to these different varshas and you stay there. And from there, then maybe it is possible you will be promoted to upper planetary system. So all these different, there are so many living entities, they have different potencies. And it is specifically mentioned that in Satyuga, Dwaparyuga and Trita Yuga, our kings who are in the Bharatkhanda, they used to travel to these different varshas. Not only to the different varshas, but some of them used to travel to higher planetary system, lower planetary system also. Some of them were able to travel right up to Bhumandala, the end of Bhumandala. So Bhumandala, as you know, that Bhumandala is consisting of islands, you know, dvipas and islands are there. So we have, and then in between the dvipas, we have the ocean of milk, yogurt, you know, ghee and sugar cane juice and all that. So in these previous yugas, they were able to travel from one part of Bhumandala to another part of Bhumandala. But in Kali Yuga, when Dwapar Yuga was there, that time what happened, they were able to travel only up to a certain varsha. Like, you know, I think it is explained that Parikshit Maharaj, probably he was able to travel to Kimpurusha Varsha, or he was able to travel up till Jambudipa, something like that, you know. So as the yuga they were passing down, the qualification to travel was also increasing, in the sense that they were not able to travel beyond a certain point because the piety was less. So then when Kali Yuga came, Kali Yuga actually no one can actually cross Bharatkhanda and all these, like, you know, even the upper Himalayas, they are not visible to us. So only special empowered beings, they can actually see all these things. So it is like that, you know. So certain, like, you know, this is when Krishna is speaking or he's showing this universal form to Arjun. So that time, certain demigods are also able to see that. And, you know, because of their natural karmas, and obviously Krishna is also allowing them to see. So, like that. Yeah, I mean, does this make sense, Madhuri?
Madhuri, how did the question for that? Now, can you mention in the lower planetary system, there is also a lot of opulence people are enjoying in Murugan. then how come they come out of the lotus? Because they are enjoying, and I believe they are enjoying more of ignorance because they don't have Krishna in their consciousness anyway. Then how come they are getting of the lotus system? Because by enjoying more of ignorance, they eventually got to the spiral going down to the hell. Then how come they managed to get out of the lotus system in that context?
Yeah. Yeah, so there are two things. One is that, you know, pure devotees, they give their association in lower triangular system or upper triangular system. Sometimes they will visit. Now, the same question can also be asked about the upper triangular system, that how do they become Krishna conscious? How do they get opportunity to become Krishna conscious? Because in upper triangular system, there is so much opportunity to enjoy. And they are in the mode of goodness also at the same time. So obviously, for one who is enjoying so much, there is no question of remembering the Lord, right? So it is mentioned that these, you know, demigods in the upper planetary system, they are devotees, but they are karma mishra bhaktas, meaning that they have their desires, you know, they have their desires to be fulfilled, but they will follow the will of the Lord finally. Like whenever there is a problem or whenever the Lord will order them something, they might be reluctant or they might even, you know, try to fulfill their desires, but finally they will follow the will of the Lord. So, but karma is their main, or desire to enjoy is their main goal. So that's why they are like, they are not like pure devotees as such. They are mixed devotees. Okay. So now how do they get rid of this? You know, it is mainly because of sometimes there is some association. Narad Muni travels in these planetary systems and maybe some other pure devotees also they visit. By their association, if they are fortunate, they will take that opportunity and they will become Krishna conscious. Otherwise, you know, anyways, you know, we know that as soon as the karma is exhausted, so they will go up and down. So that's a cycle. The Patal Loka, you know, or different hell planetary systems, they will fall down to hellish planetary system. Hell, once Yamraj will give the punishment, then again, you know, they will appear in a particular form of species in Bharatkhanda. Like, you know, we know that the you know, we start with animal form in Bharatkhanda and then progress up to 8.4 million species of life. And then again, you know, so it's a cycle. So now when someone comes to Bharatkhanda, then there is a chance that they might utilize their human form of life. Okay, but generally it's very difficult and almost, you know, it is like kind of impossible that they will come out of these lower and upper planetary system or even the middle planetary system except Bharatkhanda. So Bharatkhanda is the only place where you have the opportunity to use your freedom. Right? Because the karma is balanced. Like as we discussed earlier, you have distress, you have happiness in a balanced condition. It is not too much and too less also. Right? So like that, they will get the opportunity. Yeah, so the entire planetary system, Bharatkhanda is the only place where you have your free will to Atato Brahma Jigyasa, to inquire about God. But other planetary systems, there is almost nil opportunity unless, you know, someone gets the mercy of pure devotee. So one time one disciple asked Prabhupada that, so Prabhupada, you know, after your disappearance, where are you going to go? Prabhupada said, obviously, you know, he was thinking Prabhupada would say that, you know, I'll go to Goloka, and Prabhupada said that I will go to hell, I'll preach Krishna consciousness to everyone. So after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance and devotees like Srila Prabhupada's appearance, they are so merciful that they can also go to lower planetary system and they can also visit hellish planetary systems, right? And they can deliver all these souls. Okay, so is that fine?
So probably any Krishna devotee needs to visit the Lord Narayana system, as you mentioned, because they are so much involved in sense enjoyment under the mode of ignorance. So unless and until Narad Muni or exalted devotee like him, they visit to this hellish planetary system or Lord Narayana system, they have no chance to arrive at but to enjoy and go down to the downward spiral world.
Yeah, so those who have impious karmas, sinful activities, they go to hellish planet. Hellish planets, you know, Yamraj will give the punishment and he gives a suitable body so that in the next life they will get prepared for receiving that kind of karma. Okay. So they might be promoted to Bharat Khanda, they might be promoted to different places. It all depends on karma, like how much karmas we can exhaust. Like that. So is that, does that answer your question?
Yes, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. So you see, Deva Prithivior, that word, you know, Prabhupada says that the space between heaven and earth. And heaven means the Swarga Loka, but, you know, we know that there is Bhuvar Loka also. Om Bhuvar Swaha Tattavidur Varenyam, right? There is Bhuvar Loka, and in Bhuvar Loka, there are residents, different residents. So, you know, so they are able to see that. Okay, next.
11.21. How about
the
brother
you saw this? Huh? Who read last? Jigna Mother, you know?
Yes, Prabhuji, she read.
Yeah, so it is your turn now.
Abhihi tvam surasangha vishanti kechit pitaha prajnaya gunanti swasti yukta maharshi siddha sangaha svanti tvam studibihi pushkalabhihi. All the hosts of demigods are surrendering before you and entering into you. Some of them, very much afraid, are offering prayers with folded hands. Hosts of great sages and perfected beings crying all peace are praying to you by singing the Vedic rhymes. Demigods in all the planetary systems fear the terrific manifestation of universal form and its glaring appearance, and so pray for protection.
So now you see, one thing is, you know, common sense is that when Arjuna is seeing the form, you know, he is also seeing all the demigods. Right? He is seeing Shiva, Indra, Chandra, Vayu, because Krishna is showing all these, you know, universal things, whatever is there in the universe, he is showing to him, right? Naturally, they are all seeing this universal form. Okay, next. Chintamani Mataji.
Text 22. Rudra Ditya Vasago Yicha Satya Vishwe Sinak Marutas Kascha Chuma Pascha Gandharva Yaksha Sada Sista Sangha Vikshante Dvam Vishi Sam Chaiva Sarve. All the various manifestations of Lord Shiva, the Adityas, the Vasus, the sadhyas, the Vishve Devas, the two Ashwis, the Marut, the forefathers, the Gandharvas, the Yakshas, the Asuras, and the perfected demigods are beholding you in wonder. Did I continue?
Yeah, okay.
623. Rupam mahatte bahu vaktra vetram, mahabaho bahu bahurutadam padam, bahudaram bahu tamstre karalam, rishwa loka pravartita sathanam. O mighty armed one, all the planets with their demigods are disturbed at seeing your great form, with its many faces, eyes, arms, thighs, legs, and bellies, and you, your many terrible teeth. And as they are disturbed, so am I. Navashprisham diptam aneka varnam, rastan nanam dipta vishalanetram, vishwahi tvam pravithi tantaratma, vipim navat vindas. Vindami samam cha Vishnu. O all-pervading Vishnu, seeing you with your many radiant colors touching the sky, your gaping mouth, and your great glowing eyes, my mind is perturbed by fear. I can no longer maintain my steadiness or equilibrium of mind. You want to read or should I read?
Yeah, you can read till 25th. Then.
Text 25. Drishtra karalini chate mukhani, drishtra vaiva kalanada sannipani, visho na jane na labhe cha sharma, pratida debe cha jagannivasa. O Lord of Lords, O refuge of the world, please be gracious to me. I cannot keep my balance seeing thus your blazing death-like faces and awful teeth in all directions. I am bewildered.
Okay. Just give me 2 minutes, I will be back. Yeah, Hare Krishna. Sorry, some guests they arrived, so I had to just meet them. Okay, next verse, 26 to 27. Are you all there?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Me chatam dhrashtra putra sarve sahai भवानिपाल संघ भीष्मो द्रोण सुत पुत्र सकाशौ सहस्मदीयर अपियोद मुख्य पुत्राणि ते त्वरामणान वसन्ति दंस्त्र करालानि भयानाककानि केचिद् विलग्ना दर्शनांतरेषु संदृश्यन्ते चूर्णिते उत्तमांगे. All the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with their allied kings and Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and our chief soldiers also are rushing into your fearful mouths, and some are trapped with hands, heads smashed between your teeth. In a previous verse, the Lord promised to show Arjun things he would be very interested in seeing. Now Arjuna sees that the leaders of the opposite party, Bhishma, Drona, Karna, and all the sons of Dhritarashtra, and their soldiers and Arjuna's own soldiers are also being annihilated. With an indication that after the deaths of nearly all the persons assembled at Kurukshetra, Arjuna will be victorious. It is also mentioned here that Bhishma, who is supposed to be unconquerable, will also be smashed. So also Karna, not only will the great warriors of the other party like Bhishma be smashed, but some of the great warriors of Arjuna's side also. So here Arjuna is actually seeing, he is forecasting, he is looking into the future. And so we can also know and understand that obviously the Lord is omniscient. He knows past, present and future of all the living entities and the things which are going to come. At the same time, the devotees can also know these things by the Lord's mercy. So that's why we have some of the devotees or sages like Vedvyas, Narad Muni, they are Trikal Gyanis. They can see right into the future. Many sages are like that. They can see the future also. And we know these things because we have seen Mahabharata, Ramayana, we have seen all these things. So many, even in Krishna Lila also, some of the sages are cursing and, then they say that, well, Krishna will appear and we will be delivered by the Lord. So they are already aware of these things. It's just a matter of time they manifest. Okay, so now Bhishma Pitama is also going to die. That is also shown here. So now what is the reason Bhishma Pitama took the side of the Kauravas?
Because Krishna wanted it that way.
And why did he want that way? What did he want to show?
Just to show that even the highest dharmic person, if he takes the side of adharma, will perish.
Just to show that?
That even a great dharmic person like Bhishma, who is a Mahajan, if he takes the side of adharma, then he is not going to be spared.
Well, your direction is right, but it's not correct that Bhishma, he is considered to be a Mahajan or a dharmic person in this case. In fact, he is actually depicted as a great warrior, the greatest warrior in the entire human race. So Krishna is, he wants to show through the example of Bhishma that even if the greatest warrior on the earth, if he is standing or supporting the side of Adharma, then he also will be vanquished. So that is, that aspect of Bhishma is actually presented here. Not, see, as a Mahajan, obviously you cannot digest the fact that he is taking the side of the Kauravas, because Mahajan means someone who is actually on the side of Dharma and who is following Krishna. So now, that's the reason Bhishma, now see, Bhishma is Mahajan because of his devotion to the Lord, because of his prayers to the Lord. So one may be confused by his personality that when you read, when you go across the Bhagavatam verses and when you also read the Mahabharata, then the way Bhishma is praising the Lord, he is being portrayed as a devotee of the Lord. So then one may wonder that why he went against the Pandavas, because Krishna was there. So how can he go against Krishna? Not only that, but he even was fighting with Krishna. You know, like we all know that in order to incite Arjuna, Bhishma was shooting arrows at Krishna. And obviously that was exchange of chivalry, ras, you know, the ras of chivalry.
Okay.
So one of the secondary rasas. So chivalry means we know that someone who is powerful, strength. So he's displaying his strength, and then Krishna is accepting his strength. So even though Krishna's body is bleeding, but for Krishna, that arrows, they are like rose petals. So actually Bhishma was offering garland to the Lord in the form of the arrows. He was actually offering flowers to the Lord. So this is how Krishna is, you know, he takes in that way, because this is chivalry ras. Chivalry ras means, you know, there is a ras of mutual fight. Chivalry means, you know, the courage is shown here. So that is also something that Krishna enjoys with devotees. Like, you know, in the spiritual world also, this kind of fight will happen. Wrestling match is happening between Krishna and the Gopas. That's, you know, in the spiritual world. In the material world, Krishna is also, he wants to experience that rasa of fighting. So, so that's the reason Bhishma is called as Mahajan, because he was, in the way he offered prayers to the Lord, that is an exemplary mood. Okay, and because he's a devotee of the Lord from the beginning. So the reason that Krishna had chosen him to fight on the side of Kaurava is just to show that no matter however strong you are, if you are on the side of Adharma, you will be vanquished. Okay, so that was the reason. So you know, now according to Mahabharata or according to different people, they say different things from the Mahabharata. And first of all, Mahabharata is a corrupt text. It is not a consistent text like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So you see that Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, they are, if you refer to any other source, you know, of Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you will find that the texts that are there, they are all same, very consistent. Hardly you will find any difference in one or two places. But Mahabharata, you know, the South Mahabharata is different from the North Mahabharata, different from the East and the West Mahabharata. And so there is a corruption of the text itself. So we are not talking about interpretation. We are talking about the text itself. That's why we have different versions of Mahabharata. Even if you have seen in the television, you know, the earlier Mahabharata, B.R. Chopra Mahabharata, and the recent one which came on Star Plus a couple of years back. And, you know, there are others also, other South versions of Mahabharata, if you see that movies and all, you'll find that, you know, they are showing different things. And major incidents they are showing in a different way. Okay, so where they are coming from. So that's because, you know, the Mahabharata text is a corrupt one. It is not consistent. It is not same. Okay, so Mahabharata, you know, some will say that Bhishma was on the side of Kaurava because he was indebted to them. Since they were paying him, they were maintaining him. But that's a very superficial understanding of why Bhishma was on their side. Okay, so Bhishma was a pure devotee and he's an eternal associate of the Lord. He's coming from spiritual world. there is no question of any mistake or fault in Bhishma. So whatever happened, you know, it was all the Leela arrangement of the Lord. Bhishma was just an instrument. I mean, in the assembly of the disturbing of Draupadi also, Bhishma was just playing his role, as you know, in a drama, like in a drama. So he was just acting under the will of the Lord. Okay, so any question on this? Okay, next. Jigna Mataji.
यथानादीनां बहवो अम्बुवेगाः समुद्रम् एवाभिखाद्रमपि तथा तवामि नरलोकवीरा विशन्ति वकर्षाणाय अभिजलन्ति. As many ways of the river flow into the ocean, so do all these great warriors enter living into your mouth. Next, 11.29. Yatha pradittam jalana patanga vishanti nasaya sambhutta vejaha tatheva nasaya vishanti loka savapi vakatrani sambhutta vejaha. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouth as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. 11.30. लीलिह्यसे प्रशमानः समन्ता लोकान् समग्रान् वदन्धरे ज्वलद्भिः तेजो वीर आपूर्य जगत् समग्रं काशस्तवो ग्राह प्रजापन्ति विष्णो. ओ विष्णु, ऐ सी यू डिवोरिंग ऑल पीपल फ्रॉम ऑल सैड्स विथ योर क्लीनिंग माउथ, कवरिंग ऑल द यूनिवर्स विथ योर एफल्जेंस. You are manifesting terrible scorching rain. Shall I continue, Prabhuji?
Mithu Prabhu can continue.
Okay.
Namo
Asute Deva Vara Pashika. विज्ञातुम् इच्छामि भवन्तम् आद्यं यदि प्रजानामि तव प्रवृत्तिम्.
O Lord of Lords, so dear to our forms, please tell me who you are. I offer my obeisances unto you. Please be gracious to me. You are my primal Lord. I want to know about you, for I do not know what your mission is. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. कालोऽस्ति लोकक्षयकृत प्रवृद्धो लोकालसमाहृतम् इह प्रवृत्तः सुतेऽपि त्वं न भविष्यन्ति सर्वे एव स्थिताः प्रत्यनिकेषु योगः.
सुप्रीम पर्सनल गॉडेस्टी, to bring this to end of the world, and I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will destroy you. Although Arjuna knew that Krishna was his friend and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was puzzled by the very form exhibited by Krishna. Therefore, he asked further about the exhibition of his devastating force. It is written in the Vedas that the Supreme Truth destroys everything, even the Brahmana. As written in the Katha Upanishad 2.25. Yes, the Brahma cha kshatram cha ube bhavata odhanava uchyuryashopase chanam ka iccha veda yatrasaha. Eventually, all the Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and everyone else are devils, like Ami by the Supreme. This one is the Supreme Lord. He is the all-devouring giant, and here Krishna presents himself in the form of all-devouring giants, except the few Pandavas
anyone who was present on that article would be devoured by him. Arjuna was not in favor of the fight, and he thought it was better not to fight. Then there would be no frustration in the fight. Lord is saying that even if he did not fight, every one of them would be destroyed. For that was his plan. If Arjuna stopped fighting, he would die in another way. That could not be checked. Even if he did not fight. In fact, they were only there. Time is destruction, and all the manifestations are to be vanquished. But a desire of the Supreme Lord, that is the law of nature. Correct.
Okay. Any comment or question?
No problem.
Okay. Next.
Tasmat Vamupishta Yashola Bhaswa Jitva Shastrum Bhukshava Raja Samitram Therefore, get up, prepare to fight and win glory, conquer your enemies and enjoy a flourishing kingdom. They are already put to death by my arrangement, and you, O Savyasachi, can be but an instrument in the fight. Savyasachin refers to one who can shoot arrows very expertly in the field. Thus, Arjuna is addressed as an expert warrior, capable of delivering arrows to kill his enemies. Just become an instrument, nimitta matram. This word is also very significant. The whole world is moving according to the plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Foolish persons who do not have sufficient knowledge think that nature is moving without a plan, and all manifestations are but accidental formation. There are many so-called scientists who suggest that perhaps it was like this, or maybe like that, but there is no question of perhaps or maybe. There is a specific plan being carried out in this material world. What is this plan? The cosmic manifestation is a chance for the conditioned souls to go back to Godhead, back to home. As long as they have the domineering mentality, which makes them try to lord it over the material nature, they are conditioned. But anyone who can understand the plan of the Supreme Lord and cultivate Krishna consciousness is most intelligent. The creation and destruction of the cosmic manifestation are under the superior guidance of God. Thus, the battle of Kurukshetra was fought according to the plan of God. Arjuna was refusing to fight, but he was told that he should fight in accordance with the desire of the Supreme Lord. Then he would be happy. If one is in full Krishna consciousness and his life is devoted to the Lord's transcendental service, he is perfect.
So everything is, so whatever the plan is, it is meant for the conditioned souls to go back to, come back to God. That's the reason we have death in the material world. That's the only reason. Otherwise, if that was not the reason, then Krishna would have given eternal life in the material world to people. Right? So, yeah. Any question on this?
No problem.
Okay, next. Actually, these verses, they are in a different meter. So you cannot pronounce that, you know, that same shloka in that same tone, you know. So we have, I mean, obviously, I'm also not sure which is the exact meter which we have to, you know, the exact tone. But I believe that maybe it is the Brahma Samhita tone, or probably it is the some different tone, a meter like, no, maybe this one probably. Dronam cha bhishmam cha jayadratam cha karnam tathanyam apiyodaviran mayatam stvam janima vyadhishta Yudhya Swajeta Sirane Sapatnan. Maybe this one, or maybe the Brahma Samhita. Dronam cha bhishmam cha jai adratam cha karnam tatanyam apiyodaviran maya hatam swam jaima vitishta yuddha swajeta sirane sapatnam. So I'm not sure which one is the right one, but maybe one of these. So you see, in the 11th chapter, in the universal form chapter only, you know, this meter is used more frequently. But otherwise, Bhagavad Gita slokas, they are just using the simple meter, you know, the basic one. So, yeah, this is something about, you know, the distinction between Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavatam uses very frequently different varieties of meters, and it changes the meter drastically, randomly. You know, it's not the consistent thing. But here in the Bhagavad Gita, we see that 11th chapter is using this meter. But Bhagavatam, you know, any chapter, any verse, it will use some, you know, because the devotees guest, you know, they express some symptoms, ecstatic symptoms, or they are expressing their emotions. So the tone and meter will change accordingly like that. But here there is a conversation between Krishna and Arjuna. And so only in this chapter, you know, because Arjuna is actually seeing the universal form, you know, he's expressing his different, you know, I mean, the meter is the same here, but he's expressing in a different manner. That. Okay.
A few shlokas in chapter 2 has this meter.
Yeah. There are other chapters also which have these meters also. But overall, if you see majority of the meters in Bhagavad Gita, they are the basic meter, Anustubh meter of 32 syllables. Yeah. Okay. Drona, Bhishma, Jayadrath, Karna and other great warriors have already been destroyed by me. Therefore, kill them and do not be disturbed. Simply fight and you will vanquish your enemies in battles. Every plan is made by Supreme Master and Godhead, but he is so kind and merciful to his devotees that he wants to give credit to his devotees who carry out his plan according to his desire. Life should therefore move in such a way that everyone acts in Krishna consciousness and understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of spiritual master. The plans of Supreme Personality of Godhead are understood by his mercy, and the plans of the devotees are as good as his plans. One should follow such plans and be victorious in the struggle for existence. Yeah, so the most important question and the most common question is that if everything is planned by the Supreme Lord, how do we have a free will? If we did not have a free will, then the Lord would not have said that take the credit, become an instrument, right? Because so that is our choice. Now, like different people, they are dying because of their karmas. But how we react to that situation, that is what is going to decide our future lives. So in that sense, we have a free will, right? So if Arjun wouldn't have decided to follow Krishna's instruction, then he would have attained a different destination. Now, obviously, you know, he is an eternal associate, so there is no question of him not following the Lord's instruction. But let's assume that, you know, if Arjun did not fight the war, then he would have attained a different destination. And the destination of those leaders was already arranged by the Lord. So, you know, the devotees, technically speaking, the devotees, they have free will. See, death is kind of, you know, according to one's karma, one is able to fix their time of death. But one can also change that, because one can change one karma. One can also change one's karma. You know, if you please a particular demigod, or if you perform certain rituals, certain purificatory process, if you follow certain rules, regulations, if to appease the demigods or to appease the Lord, then they can change your karma. So that's the reason we have astrology and we have different, you know, the scriptures. See, the very fact that the scriptures are there, it actually indicates that you have a free will. If you didn't have a free will, why the shastra will be there? Right? It's common sense. That the shastras are telling you do's and don'ts, what you should do, what you should not be doing. So what is the meaning of that? if you did not have a free will, there is no question of the Shastra being there. So you have a free will, but generally the free will is kind of useful for making future, attaining future destinations. And another important concept is that generally the people who are in the mode of ignorance, their free will is very restricted, very limited. In fact, you know, they are kind of restricted of a free will. You know, they have free will, but it is so restricted that actually you can say that they don't have a free will. For those who are in the mode of passion, they have free will, which is less restricted than those in the mode of ignorance. And for the mode of goodness people, the free will is very much existing. I mean, very much prevalent. So they are the ones who are actually, see, that's the reason it is mentioned that if you want to become a devotee, then you have to come to the mode of goodness. Because you can make choices, you can alter your karma through that choices. You can alter your choices also. But if you are in the mode of ignorance, then you are just doing according to your previous impression, you are just acting according to that, and you don't have any desire to change yourself, or you don't have sufficient determination to that. So that is in the mode of ignorance. Okay. So does this make sense? Okay. Okay, so we'll take one last verse and then we can. Okay. Jigna Mathani.
Andhyaru Vata Ishyat Chitva Vachana Kesavasya Kritanjalera Vipana Manaha Kiriti. Namaskrutva Puya Evaha Krishnam Chagada Vadam Jita Pitaha Pranamya. Chandra Setu Dhritarashtra, O King, after hearing these words from the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, the Grasping Arjuna offered opportunity to scold me again and again. He fearfully spoke to Lord Krishna in a faltering voice as follows. As we have already explained, because of the situation created by the universal form of the Supreme Personality of the Godhead, Arjuna became bewildered in wonder. Thus, he began to offer his respectful obeisances to Krishna again and again, and with faltering voice, he began to pray not as a friend, but as a devotee in wonder. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, so see, here also we can clearly understand that Dhritarashtra also, you know, although he's not able to see it, but he is hearing all these things from Sanjay, and Sanjay is directly watching all these things. So that's the reason at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Sanjay says that Yatra Yogeshwara Partha Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Tatra Partha Dhanodara Yatra Partha Dhanodara Tatra Fi Vijay Bhuti Dhuvani Tri Matidmata. So, wherever there is Krishna, there is Arjuna, there is certainly victory. Now, from here itself, this universal form itself, one can clearly see and understand that Krishna is actually the destroyer of everything, and he is the ultimate controller. So, but even after seeing all these things, or hearing all these things, Dhritarashtra is actually still hoping that, there might be a chance that, you know, Duryodhan will win. So many people say that, well, if God is existing, then can you show me God? You know, then I will believe. But even if God will be present, you know, they might be able to, you know, they might probably able to accept a superior power, but it's not necessary that they will think that he is God. Because some of the atheistic people, or some people who are completely envious of the God, then they will never accept him, even if he appears before them. So here it is shown that in spite of Krishna becoming a Shantidut and going and explaining to Dhritarashtra and, you know, telling him you should give up your son. That, see, this is not the first time. Dhritarashtra had also an experience earlier, because that time Krishna had also displayed his universal form when he went as a Shantidut. And so now here, second time also he's showing. So can you you can just think, you know, that in spite of repeatedly showing this universal form, neither Duryodhan nor Dhritarashtra, you know, they were able to relinquish their desires. So it is understood that even after seeing God also, it's not necessary one becomes a pure devotee, or one can surrender to the Lord, or one will accept the Lord. Right? So, everything ultimately depends on the free will and the desire of the devotee. Finally, it boils down to that. Obviously, the Lord will protect the devotee. You know, the devotee will have special mercy also. But finally, if they want to advance in spiritual life, you know, then it is up to the devotees. It is their free will, because only through free will love is expressed. And so we cannot expect that everything happens automatically. Even if, you know, okay, even if devotees might pray for us, even advanced devotees might pray for us, Prabhupada may pray for us, Uttamadhikaris may pray for us. But the thing is that we have to act on our desire. You know, I mean, special mercy can be there, you know, it is possible by special interference of, you know, the pure devotees. Obviously, things will change, but in general, you know, everything depends on the free will. Everything depends on how much effort we are putting to advance in spiritual life. So, our goal is to please the pure devotee of the Lord, and that will only take us back to God because of the special mercy of the pure devotee. Right? Okay, so any question or comment?
Only one quick question. You may correct me if I misunderstood. I believe Sanjaya, the Divya Shakti got from Vyasadeva, he could see and hear the conversation and expression between Krishna and Arjuna here. But that Divya Shakti, because it was given by Vyasadeva and not by Lord Krishna, he could not be the Virata Sarupa. That's what Arjuna was seeing. Is that right?
No, Sanjay was also seeing that. So
the Divya Shakti given by Vyasadeva was same powerful as Divya Shakti given by Krishna to Arjuna.
Obviously, in fact, whatever devotee is giving, it is greater than Krishna's, what Krishna is giving. And devotee's mercy is actually more pleasing to the Lord than, you know, the Lord's own mercy coming. So, generally, that's the reason we say that, okay, you know, we always approach the Lord through the devotees. Don't try to approach the Lord directly. So, in fact, the Lord says, that declare it boldly, Name Bhaktya Pranashyati, that my devotees will never perish, and Krishna will, he might not be able to fulfill his own vow, as he was, you know, he broke his own vow, you know, when he lifted the wheel of the chariot and he was rushing towards Bhishma Dev to attack him. So he broke his own vow in order to protect his devotee. But whatever, so that's why in that verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling Arjuna that you declare it boldly that my devotees will never perish. So the acharyas give commentary that he says that if Krishna would have declared, then there is a chance he would have broken that vow. But because he is asking Arjuna to do it, so it is confirmation that Krishna will never break that vow, that he will always protect his devotees. Okay, so whatever a devotee does, there is no chance of, you know, defect in that. It is always effective. Right? So there is no difference between Krishna's bestowing that Divya Chakshu and the pure devotee bestowing that. Okay?
Okay, Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, all right. So any other question? Okay, I wanted to ask Mithun Prabhu and Mathuri that, so are you able to attend the question answer class, or you'll be just hearing the recordings?
Yes,
So Prabhuji, it depends on schedule, but probably we will hear the recording, Prabhuji.
Acha, okay. Well, that's fine, no problem.
Yeah,
so are you able to hear the recordings?
Yeah, Prabhuji, yeah. Second class still is waiting for us to hear, but first already we heard it.
Acha, okay, no problem. Okay, so this question answer session, I think we might have tomorrow. I have an appointment with a Prabhupada disciple, so I won't be available tomorrow night. So I will have it mostly on Wednesday. Chintamani Matavi, is Wednesday okay for you? Hare Krishna. Are you there, Chintamani Madhuri? Okay, anyways, so we'll end here. Thank you for joining. Hare Krishna. Dhanvat Pranam to all of you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Dhanvat Pranam.